So, Hare Krishna. I would like to just give to those of you who have joined us today a little summary of what we are doing. We have this seminar on eight very wonderful expressions of joy. They are in the form of poems about the glories of the Holy Name and what it can do. I think by now every one of you has understood in the Hare Krishna movement, which is a very ancient form of the Vedic expression of the old traditional culture of spiritual India. The main process is chanting the Holy Name with a sense of absorption. What happens when you absorb yourself? Those of you who went to school know when you have a lot of ink, this is in the old time, and you were writing in ink, but there's too much ink, then you take a certain paper, it's called blotting paper. And the paper is used to absorb the ink. You know, there's too much ink on the pages, so you put the paper on top of it, and then it absorbs it. And in this way, something amazing happens. The paper and the ink become, in one sense, one thing, one, you know. It's so much, the ink is now really in the paper. And this is what we aim for when we chant the Holy Name, that the Holy Name really is absorbed by the mind and in one sense is really in the mind. Unless and until you come to the stage of absorption of the Holy Name is just outside of you. The Holy Name is there, the sound, and your mind is at another place. This, I think, is one of the many reasons why many devotees who try to make advancement in Krishna consciousness have not yet come to a level of deep spiritual realization. They are the Holy Name of Krishna is here, and the mind is with the world and with the ego, and you know, just not there. So in this seminar we try to do two things. We try to glorify the Holy Name, that we take a fresh approach to the Holy Name by listening to these beautiful poetic compositions, and then we hear an example of chanting from the ancient tradition, and finally we make a practical experiment of absorbed chanting. These experiments are all taken from a book that has been recently published on the subject. It's called The Living Name, Chanting with Absorption. One needs to learn that, really. It's a meditative science, really. So good. So the verses which we chant at the moment, or which we deal with, each have a different meter in which they are chanted. They're not a normal Sanskrit composition, but each singular verse is entirely different, has its entirely unique meter and sound to it. So you will now hear the Meta called Malini. It's a female florist. I have seen these in Belgrade a lot. You know, they sit there. They have buckets full of different types of flowers, and very attractive smell is coming. At least in the old times, it was there. Florist is someone who deals with beautiful flowers. So this meter or this melody in which we would chant it is supposed to be like a beautiful lady florist. The words are like flowers which describe a beautiful spiritual subject in a great glorification way. So I now have to turn to my assistant, Gaur Krishna. Can you please help us? I'm not sure that I do it right at the first time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. Agada Mana Yashoda Nandana Nandasuno Agada Mana Yashoda Nandana Nandasuno. It's a certain flow, like a river. You please try, you will catch it. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chanda Brinda Vanindra Kamala Nayana Gopi Chanda Brinda Vanindra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vidyaneka Swarupe Vanindra Swarupe Tvayamam Marat Teucher Varatang Namadeya Let us try again. It sounds a little bit like a graveyard song at the moment. We have to improve a little bit here. Agada mana yashoda nandano nandasuno Agada mana yashoda nandano nandasuno Kamala nayana gopi Chandra Brindavanendra Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Brindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vidyaneka Swarupe Tvayimam Maratyu Chervadatam Namadeya Yes, I'm not yet convinced that this is really like a offering of flowers to the holy name. Let me try an entirely different melody, but with the same meta. Agadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno. I can only do this one. Yes. Agadamana Yashoda Nandana Nandasuno. This is better now. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra. Karuna Krishna Vinityaneka Swarupe Svayimam Maratyuchar Vadatang Namadeya Thank you, Jesus. Begins to flow. O most worshipable holy name. May my attraction to you increase immensely. You have various forms, such as Agadhamana, the son of Yashoda, the son of Nanda, the lotus-eyed one, the cooling moon of the gopis, the lord of Vrindavan, and Krishna, who's merciful towards the surrendered souls. Here Rupa Goswami prays for something which I think is very relevant for all of us. He says, you are so worshipable, holy name, but I have this one problem. My attraction to you is very small because I'm at the moment a divided soul who has divided his attraction. This goes to Krishna and most of it goes to my life and living my life. I've not yet integrated the two so well. So, oh holy name, you have inconceivable glories. May my attraction towards you increase continuously, more and more and more and more. Now, Rupa Goswami gives a very interesting list of names, which each give a very special quality of Krishna, so that as we hear holy names, these different holy names, we can see that we become attracted to one of these qualities. Krishna has taken has so many names because he wants to be sure that all souls can become deeply attracted to him. And some are more attracted to one aspect of the Lord, yet others are more attracted to another aspect. He starts his list with Agadhamana. Aga was a demon who had come to kill Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. He was ordered to do so by his master Kamsa. And these demons are able to take different forms, and he came as a python snake. He was lying as a huge snake on the path and opening his mouth, and he first swallowed Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys, because he thought Krishna will follow them. He likes his devotees so much, and he was not wrong. Krishna went into him and then went to save his friends. And when he was inside his wide mouth, Agasura closed the mouth and thought of digesting the Lord. But Krishna became very hot. He began to expand. Then finally Agasura thought a second sun in the sunset is in my throat. And Krishna began to expand more and more until finally the demon could no longer be contained in the body, and he left the body. He burst out and waited as a light. The soul waited outside until Krishna came. And because Krishna is very merciful, for him there are really no enemies. God has no enemies. We may be, there may be people who consider themselves enemies of God, but the Lord is much vaster and bigger. He can't take that serious. So he waited, Agasura waited outside until Krishna came. By the touch of Krishna, his sinful mentality had been totally transformed. He now wanted to worship Krishna. The enemy came into a worshipper. And as Krishna came out, the soul entered the Lord's transcendental body and was now united with him. No? Krishna was kind enough to accept him and absorb him in his effulgence, the same effulgence which he had used to show his amazing power to the soul. So Agadamana is therefore traditionally Krishna as the one who conquered Aga, the Aga snake, is called upon because the devotees feel, I also still have a sinful mentality in my mind, and I wish that Krishna comes and takes away the sinful things out of my heart. He takes what should not be there. Then the next name, Yashoda Nandano, the name which is most dear to Krishna. He likes to be called by this name because he so much loves his dear mothers. He's a real mother's boy, if you so want. He is a worshipper of the mother. And therefore, his name is Yashoda Nandan, the beloved son of Yashoda. And then only on second place comes Nandasuno, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Then he is called Kamalanayana. This is a typical epithet or way you call Krishna. He's always known by his lotus eyes. Now we say like this, very big eyes Lord Krishna has, which extend up to his ears. It's so large. And don't think Krishna is just looking in one direction. His eyes are constantly wandering from left to right because he wants to send his merciful glance to all the devotees. He wants to see them all. Therefore, he's always wandering. Therefore, his eyes are also called bumblebees. And he's searching and seeing his devotees, blessing them. And is therefore, he needs lotus eyes, you know, large eyes. Then he is Gopi Chandra, the moon of the gopis. In the Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, 13th verse, it is described how what is the moon doing. The moon gives life to the vegetables. When there is a good moon, then the moon shines and somehow increases the juiciness of your sabjis, your vegetables. Prabhupada writes in the purport, everything becomes palatable, that means enjoyable, by the agency of the Supreme Lord through the influence of the moon. So he is the moon of the gopis. He engladdens them. He gives them prana, the life of the force of life. That is what Krishna does. Therefore his name is Gopi Chandra. His name, there are many Chandras, you know, Gora Chandra, Vrindavan Chandra. You have, I think we have, even in Serbia, we must have a few Chandras. Avinash Chandra, many, many nice names like this, referring to Krishna, who gives life to all, pleasing life by the merciful shine of his effulgence. Then there is Vrindavanendra. This points at once to the pastimes in Vrindavan, the prince of Vrindavan, and finally Pranata Karuna, merciful to those who submit to him. There was once a very a devotee who was in his last days. He was very old, in other words. The evening of his life had come. And he asked his spiritual master, Ramanujacharya, what Guru Maharaj, when at the time of my death, I'm not in consciousness, I'm in coma, and I'm not able to remember Krishna, I'm just in coma. What will happen with me? So Ramanuja thought, this is such a wonderful devotee, he deserves an absolute answer, which is absolutely true. And he felt, I better ask this question to the Lord directly. So he went to the, and when he took darshan of Ranganath, and he asked the Lord, there is this one devotee who is concerned. He's very old and he might die soon and leave his body, and he wants to know if he falls into a coma or any other circumstances which prevent him, they hinder him to thinking of you. What will be his destiny? Then the Lord, who's the Lord of Ramanujacharya, he said, I remember those who have remembered me. Then he said this famous sentence, I choose those who have chosen me. Just now we had a very glorious death of a devotee, Padmavati, whom you all know, and Rohini Sutta Prabhu gave yesterday a beautiful glorification of her. Unfortunately, many of you are all over the place, but it was really nice, I heard. He glorified her. And today I got an email message from her son, and he described the details of his mother's glorious departure. It was amazing. She was in coma, and everyone felt this could be the last time. So she was allowed to come to home. I mean, the devotees brought her in a car or in some transportation home, and then they were there in her last hours. They gave her the last the deities. I do not know if she was in coma during her actual death, but before, that's she was brought to the, when she was in hospital, she was there. And all the circumstances which Goga Datta described were just, I mean, they were arranged by Krishna, because hospitals are not, they have their rules, but everything went very nicely, just as this devotee would like to have had it. And her deities were there, just very close on her chest, deities who had been worshipped by her all the time. And Krishna has done this. I choose those who choose me. Beautiful. Therefore, Rupa Goswami remembers this quality of the Lord. Pranata Karuna. Pranata means those who use their prana, their life force, to submit to the Lord. Your will may appear. You are the Lord of my life. And Karuna means, Karuna is a form of mercy, different from prasad, different from anugraha mercy. It is the mercy which is extended without expecting any qualification of the receiver of the mercy. It's as we say in our language, unconditioned mercy. He gives everything. He gives himself even to those who want him, who have chosen him. No? He doesn't push himself in the life of those who do not want him, but those who want him, who've chosen him, they can have everything from the Lord. These are the many, these are the few names with which Rupa Goswami mentions, but what is in his mind as he talks about these is that these are how many names? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names. It means the Lord has unlimited names. At least 108, but much more than this. Unlimited. There is no limit there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you read his explanation, he goes really into names. Would you like to hear some of the names? You can repeat after me. Yashodanandan. I give you the English translation, no need to repeat it. Darling son of Yashoda. Gokula Ranjana. Delight of Gokula. Yes. Rasa Kupa. The wellspring or the source of everything which is rasa. Rasa means which has a very high rasa. High taste. Gopala. Protector of the cows. Then Murali Varana. It means flute faced. What it means is that in his beautiful face there's always the flute somehow. Govardhana Dhari. Lifter of the Govardhan Hill. Many wonderful names. It goes like he doesn't stop, you know. And the last name he says is Radha Bhajana Sukhashali, one who delights in Radharani's worship. He likes so much that worship. And then he says, may my hankering and my attraction for these and other forms of the holy name increase. And may I develop more and more affection. I hold the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Swarup Damodar and beg them, please give me attraction to the holy name. Beautiful, beautiful. I would like to tell you a little bit from the Jewish tradition. There it was also known that the holy name is very special, but it was kept as something so special that only once a year would a priest be allowed to go before the temple of the people on the highest step, and then with the greatest respect he would call out the names of the Lord. Mostly he used the name Adonai or Yahweh. And as he did this, everyone, there would be thousands of believers there, paid their obeisances to the holy name, knowing that this is the most merciful manifestation of Krishna. Why did the tradition stop, you may ask? Such a beautiful tradition. Now it's no longer done. Listen to the reason. The priests were not considered to be pure enough any longer. There were no such pure priests available. They were not bad priests, but or evil priests, or deviant priests. It was just thought you need a tremendous amount of purity in order to speak the names of the all-merciful, the all-pure. In order to do this, when this tradition was going on, the priests would fast for a long time and eat only very light food and pray throughout the night and many, many such regulations they would do. And then the Lord would appear. In our movement there is also an understanding. If our heart is so troubled with sinful desires and so on, it will be difficult really to have the full experience of the Holy Name. But nevertheless, our tradition encourages us, says us, the only way to become purified is if you continue to chant the Holy Name. I think in one of the previous seminars we had heard that the Holy Name, which is to be chanted, is there are three qualifications. Does maybe some of you remember what these were? Exclusive dedication was one. Thank you. Another. Freedom from the offenses, yes. And finally, an eagerness, desire, you know, a deep desire to do. Then the Holy Name can manifest His full potency. He wants to manifest it. He wants to reveal Himself to you. But you need to choose Him in some ways. You need to say, yes. Jawollem, jawollem te. And it needs to be not just from the lips, it needs to come from the heart, no? So, this Holy Name, I want to tell you now an example from our tradition and the power of the Holy Name to give the highest results in spiritual life. Yesterday we heard that there was the greatest Noah of the Vedic scriptures in the in India of the 15th century, who was teaching and who had 80,000 disciples. Where was he residing? Do you remember? Varanasi, and his good name? Prakashananda. Yes, you remember everything. So he had a meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in the meeting, Mahaprabhu convinced him philosophically that all his learning, his understanding of the Vedas was based on a commentary which got it all wrong. This is very heavy. When you have a cultured man who has learned all his life, who has invested his life, and at the end of his life, he sees all my fasts, all my endeavors led me on the wrong track. Wow! Prakashananda was really finished. He said, I can't find any criticism in what you say, but let us now, he was with all his disciples, let us now hear your explanation of the Vedas, please. It's true, I have to see. Shankaracharya, whom I followed, has explained it in wrong ways and it has put an interpretation there which is not there in the Vedas. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started. He started to speak in his voice. It was so melodically, and he spoke with so much humility. And as he spoke these words, an almost indescribable bliss started to fill the heart of Prakashananda. See, when a real devotee speaks about his beloved Krishna, then as you listen, your heart begins transformed and you feel a thrill in your heart, an enthusiasm, and a clarity, and even something like affection starting for Krishna. So he's, Lord Chaitanya spoke about the spiritual form of the Lord, and he explained how he can only be attained by prema and by bhakti, you know, love. And his words had such a profound impact on this Mayavadi that finally Prakashananda Saraswati said, "Become my guru, please, and teach me about how to attain Krishna prema." But then, as he had said it, the flood of his enthusiasm, which went towards Lord Chaitanya, the wave of his enthusiasm came back. Have you ever been at an ocean and seen? The wave comes, one wave, and then the wave goes in another wave. I think some of you have experienced this in their life. You were so enthusiastic, but what happened with you? The wave went back. So the wave went also back, and he thought, "I'm a leader here. It can't be. I'm defeated in front of all my disciples. The whole town talks about this avatar. I offended him. Did I sleep on the ground for this? All my position is gone. Am I now a fool before him? I have to think about it." So he said, "Oh Swamiji, what you have said is very interesting. Let me think about it." And he went into his hut, and there for 3 days and 3 nights he didn't accept any food. He didn't want to see anyone. He was so much affected by his meeting that all he saw was the beautiful face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his, again, he is also lotus eyes, he's the Lord, talking to him and taking all his concepts away from him and replacing them with superior concepts. The Lord, what was going on with the Lord after this meeting? Well, you must know one thing. He had come to Varanasi and he stayed there under one condition, that he would be allowed to be alone in his own little kutir, and he would be allowed to sing about Krishna, think about Krishna, and express his love for Krishna. But soon after this incident, after the leader of the town had become a devotee, there were masses of people just coming around the hut and waiting for the avatar to come out. And he came out 3 times a day. He came out totally involved in his deep, deep mood of transcendental love for Krishna. And then he went to the Ganga to take his bath there. Now one day, it was after the third day, you know, something extraordinary happened, which no one had expected. Lord Chaitanya had come back from his bath in the Ganga and visited one temple, the temple of Bindu Madhava. Any one of you has visited this temple? Not yet. It's a beautiful temple. And while he was seeing the deity, he became so filled with love that he began to chant, "Hari Hari!"
Hari Hari!
Yeah, not like this. Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And then he started to sing and dance in ecstasy. And many people came around him and watched Mahaprabhu dancing. Have you heard about the dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before? It was not left and right, left and right, back and forth, back and forth. That was dancing, my dear devotees. He was dancing, he was jumping so blissfully. Tears came like syringes out of his eyes. When he landed on the ground, it was so impactful. The whole ground started to shake. And he would run back and forth. Sometimes it appeared that he had taken many forms at once and was dancing in absolute transcendental ecstasy like this. So when Prakashananda was there in his heart, a little mental, thinking about it, he heard this amazing sounds of the people chanting together with Lord Chaitanya, "Hari Hari!"
Hari Hari!
And experiencing how they were lifted up from material consciousness to the highest levels of spiritual realization. And he thought, this is my chance. He told his disciples, "I'm going there." And as he was going there, he started to run, and his cloth were waving in the wind. Have you ever heard this? There was a Sankirtan party, and you come there, and as you come closer, you think, "Wow, this is what absolutely interests me." And your steps go faster, and finally you run. Have you experienced? Yes, I also have experienced. I have experienced even in Belgrade this phenomena. Yes, Belgrade means we had sometimes kirtan in the center of the town. There are video recordings. It really looks like something, you know, so many happy devotees, old Serbian gentlemen and gospodars started to dance around Serbian style. Very, very attracted to the holy name. And when you come close, you think, "Wow, this is highly attractive," and you run. So Prakashananda was running because now he had an opportunity to see the Lord in trance. He had heard him talk. He had seen the joy running through Lord Chaitanya as he talked about Krishna. But he had not yet seen this amazing personality in ecstasy. Have you ever seen someone in ecstasy? Transcendent. I'm not speaking, "Oh, this pizza is ecstatic, Prabhu." No, I'm thinking of the spiritual phenomena of ecstasy. It is a phenomena which is really something else. And when the ecstasy is real, it begins to influence you. I have seen, I remember now only one time, Srila Prabhupada in ecstasy. All of us felt it. The whole hall felt it. We couldn't speak any longer. Time had stopped for all of us. We just looked at him. He was not aware of his surroundings any longer. He was deep inside, feeling something very deep. We didn't know what to do. We just looked, and it seemed to me like an eternity. And finally, with great effort, Srila Prabhupada came from that ecstatic level where there is no communication possible on our platform. He looked around and he said, "So chant Hare Krishna." And then he quickly got up and left. Yeah. So what Prakashananda saw exceeded all his expectations. As he wrote later about it, he said, I pay my obeisances to the best of all masters, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose whole body is pervaded with spiritual ecstasy, who's dancing with the most graceful movements of his feet. His golden arms are uplifted. His body is swinging to and fro. Again and again he calls out that supreme name that gives joy to all. Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And he takes away all evil, all bad things from this world. So when Prakashananda saw this, something happened in his heart and he thought, he must be God. What I see is everyone here is just in total ecstasy. The whole town dances. There's so many people. And what does he do? He cries and cries, but rivers of tears, where is all this water coming from? This is amazing. Prakashananda had made a long journey. First, he had offended Lord Chaitanya. He had nothing good to say about him. He referred to him as a magician who somehow has occult and bad powers and hypnotizes people. Then, when he met him, he felt immediately purified by the darshan from his pride and passion, and he could understand the truth of the scriptures, the real understanding of the scriptures. But then, as we know, there was a struggle within. I think we all have experienced this struggle. We are convinced, but then, bang, doubts come, no? Sometimes the struggle is so hard that devotees leave their spiritual path because the doubts become victorious over them. It's very sad. But then he began to feel attraction for the Lord and finally understand that Lord Chaitanya was good. There was one thing in his heart which was still missing, which a great devotee should have. Could you imagine what was still missing, although he had gone so far in his journey? Overwhelming prema, overwhelming love. That was Lord Chaitanya had not yet given him. So as he watched, breathless, how the Lord was dancing and watched him, something started to move in him. And that personality who had forbidden himself to feel any emotions. Emotions were Maya for the Mayavadis, no? Who had a very scholarly mind. He was just... I have a disciple whose father is a mathematician and who cannot understand Krishna consciousness because it doesn't fit into the rational mind which he has cultivated the whole life. A very hard-hearted man. And he felt something was changing in his heart. He started to do something like dancing, you know, move back and forth. But it was more than the natural thing which you see in Novishad, you know, when we do kirtan, then people who sit in the restaurant go... When there is a good groove in the kirtan, no, it was more. He felt how his soul started to move, and then tears came. Do you know in Gaudiya Vaishnavism what is the price for Krishna consciousness? Lolyam, thank you. To such a degree that there are ecstatic tears coming from the eyes. And these tears started to wash away everything else. It was not a rational process. It was a process which really, how do you say, it had to do with a total different energy which came into him, the energy of bhakti. And he finally couldn't contain himself any longer. He threw himself down on the ground and he grabbed the lotus feet of the Lord and cried and sobbed like a helpless child. So at this stage, Mahaprabhu became aware of his surroundings. He had not been before aware of his surroundings. He had not seen the crowds around him. He had not noticed Prakashananda who stared at him. He had only been with Krishna. No one else, nothing more. And he became aware of him. And he saw. And his natural humility overtook him. And he said, "No, no, what are you doing? Please." And he helped him to get to the feet. "Please, please, please, you're the leader here. Don't do this. I'm an ordinary person." Prakashananda thought, "Oh my Lord, do not deceive me." Deceive means something like, well, in simple English, cheat me. And then Chaitanya said, "See me this evening." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always be extremely considerate, and he knew this was the leader of the intellectuals of India. If people would talk about him, that he was publicly so exposed and so devotional, they would not understand. There would be criticism that again some magic has worked. Yes, in a way it's spiritual energy which we are talking about. It's bhakti shakti, but it has nothing to do with anything worldly like this. So in the evening, Prakashananda Saraswati came. He had tears in his eyes. He felt so sorry. Since so many, many years, he had said one bad thing after the other about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a sentimentalist. He has no idea about the spiritual culture of the Vedas, etc. He had really been very foul-mouthed. And he said, "I should forgive myself. But you are beyond this. You are the Lord." See, a great personality, when you offend him, he doesn't take it serious. He doesn't take it to heart. The son doesn't care if we say, "Oh, the son is very cruel and merciless. Why does it shine so much? I have a sunburn." You know, the son goes on doing what is its business, to give light and warmth and maintenance to the universe. Is not affected by this. So Prakashananda Saraswati said like this, but the Lord Chaitanya could see his heart, soft heart, and what did he do? He embraced him to his heart. Prakashananda was overwhelmed by the closeness of the Lord, by the tremendous love which emanated from the Lord, and both of them fell down in a swoon. Swoon means they fainted. Then they talked something. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You better leave Varanasi, where everyone refers to you as a big leader, and you become a big, and you become a real devotee, free from the temptation." Do you know what is temptation? It's always there. Temptation. A pizza, for instance, is a temptation. We eat sometimes more than is healthy because it's so tempting. No. So you must become free from the temptation. And Prakashananda said, "No, don't tell me to leave you." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "I'm leaving Varanasi soon." Then Prakashananda Swati said, "In my life, I had given up all the ties that kept me chained to the world." What is ties in Serbian? I have given up all the vesans, the ties which bound me to this world. But then what happened? You have come and you have bound me with the chain of your love to you. I pay my obeisances to the all-merciful Divine Master, whose mere touch, only the touch of Him, or the sight of Him when we see Him, or His mercy is enough to give love even to those who are far away from Him, if they pay respects to Him in their hearts." This is the amazing potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I wanted to just share this end of this pastime for you. See how his ultimate transformation, his ultimate change came when he chanted the holy name. It is said that during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, everyone got love of Krishna, just like Prakashananda had gotten, just by being in the kirtan and seeing Lord Chaitanya. It was not a point of consideration whether someone committed offenses or not. But after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was not present on the planet, then at that time there is a consideration of, you know, doing your best in your power to chant properly and improve in this ancient practice. No? So I want to end this now with you. I want to give you a practical insight in this. I will want to do a little meditative chanting where we will think about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a little bit and meditate about him. Are you interested in such things? It's good, no? Spiritual, Krishna conscious, good. I just need to talk a little with my musical band. Yes, Lalita, you are ready with your melodious violin. This will be... I request you to sit tall again, sit properly. And become a little peaceful inside, by just focusing on your in and outgoing breath. I sense there's a little restlessness amongst you, I think because you think of soon leaving the camp. But please let us center ourselves now. Put your hands on the knees, please. Well, I will make it short because I know you are a little restless. No problem. Breathe in and out, real peaceful. Please listen to this very beautiful Buddha Shuddhi meditation. In my truest being, I am an eternal spiritual soul. I'm part of the Supreme. I'm servant of Radha and Krishna. Unfortunately, I have been absent from that relationship. Instead, I have been wandering the world in the repeated cycle of birth and death, helplessly I've identified with one material body after another. But my fortune has turned. I met Srila Prabhupada and his followers. I have learned from them about my actual identity as a pure spirit. I am the resident of the spiritual world. I belong to the kingdom of love. I'm an individual soul, completely separate from the gross and subtle body. I have been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships, Radha and Krishna. This will be our last kirtan now. Sing for Radha and Krishna. Sing in this awareness. Be present-minded, not absent-minded. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Krishna, Krishna.
Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Huh?
Please try to absorb yourself in the holy name. Remember that special paper, the blotting paper, which is put on the ink and absorbs the ink totally. So we need to also absorb the chanting a little bit. Please start now. Hare Krishna. Hare, Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare,
Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, Sri Radhe. Gaura Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Hari. Premanandi, Hari 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 Bol. Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. We will have to come to an end. I'm sorry, I'm always a little bit over time. I have an invitation to you. We have heard about the auspicious departure of Padmavati. Her last services, called Antyeshti, the cremation of her body takes place on the coming Tuesday at 3:40 p.m. in the crematorium Mirogoj. Again? Mirogoj in Zagreb. Mm-hmm. And if you wish to attend it, I think it will be a very auspicious service. And I know Goga Datta will definitely make it into a very, you know, sacred event where deep spiritual, deep Krishna consciousness takes place. I suggest that you maybe talk with those close to the family, Madayanti, maybe, and get some more information, and then you're invited to come 3:40 at Tuesday in Zagreb. I wish you all the best. Maybe I don't see all of you tomorrow morning, since some of you will already travel back to their places. It was a true pleasure to be with you and go with you through 5 texts. We have to continue next year with a 6, 7, and 8 text. My main, I think, message to all of you as you leave, try to not leave alone. Try to not go the same person who came. Try to make a plan to realize more of the ideal version, your ideal version of the self. And the holy name, as we have heard, can really help you, but you have to start thinking seriously of chanting with absorption. Really, it makes a whole difference, like day and night. It will really bring you to most amazing miracles in your spiritual life. So please, if you wish, look into it a little deeply. I thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.